This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I was right. The sun did come up at 7:12, so once again, the meteorologist nailed it right on the button. Highs of 76 today. Right now it's 53, going up to 80 tomorrow. Plenty of sunshine. Likewise on Friday, same thing. But then Saturday for the St. Patrick's Day parades, I guess maybe a chance for some rough weather that could happen in the afternoon. The timing's not exact on that yet, but we'll let you know as soon as they tell us. Then Sunday and Monday, nice. And all of next week, really nice and spring-like. A little bit cooler with highs in the lower 70s. And a formed electorate is a key part of a functioning democracy. And we're going to take an hour to try to inform the electorate about some amendments that are coming up on the ballot in Louisiana. And we start with Daniel Erspammer, CEO of the Pelican Institute. How you doing, Daniel?
Hey, Tommy, good to be with you. I'm doing great.
Tell me about the election. Is the election, I guess it's an election. Would you call it an election? I guess so. That's when
it
people
is.
Vote. It's an election, yeah. Even though it's its issue, it's on March 29th. Is there early voting, do you know, on this?
Yes, early voting starts on Saturday, this Saturday.
So even all the more reason to be an informed electorate. Tell me what people have a chance to vote on and why it's important that, I guess, is the Pelican Institute in favor of all four of these amendments? Are there more than four?
There are four. Okay. We have taken a position on three of them. We have recommended a yes vote on one, two, and four. And we don't have an official position on three, though happy to talk through some of that. So
let's talk about
important.
One. Let's start with one, with what you guys have positions on. Tell me about Amendment 1. What would that do?
That sounds great. So Amendment 1 is a judiciary one. It does two things. It codifies in the Constitution the ability for the state Supreme Court to regulate out-of-state attorneys who are practicing in Louisiana. And it gives the legislature the ability to create specialty courts. Specialty courts like drug courts, reentry courts, business courts. These have been very successful here in Louisiana and across the country in a variety of ways. And we think this is a great thing for the legislature to be able to do.
So tell me what it does without out-of-state lawyers.
So there's been some drama over lawyers from Texas who've come in, especially after hurricanes, and behaved badly in some lawsuits against insurance companies and others. And so the Supreme Court, of course, has the ability to regulate Louisiana lawyers. That's its job, or part of its job. And it's widely accepted that the Supreme Court should regulate out-of-state attorneys who practice in Louisiana. But this codifies it in the Constitution, and that's an appropriate place for that to be.
That would make every bit of sense. I don't understand who could be against that or why it took so long for this to happen. Am I missing something?
No, I agree. I think this was, you know, there was a problem that emerged. There was some question about whether this was a role of the Supreme Court. And again, widely accepted that it is, but this just codifies it into the Constitution.
Let's talk about Amendment number 2 that the Pelican Institute says they're in favor of.
This is the big one. So this is a rewrite, a streamlining of Article 7 of the Constitution, which is where all of the tax and spending part of the Constitution. So a couple of key highlights: a vote yes on Constitutional Amendment 2 does a few things. It caps or lowers the maximum income tax rate allowed in the Constitution. It pays off about $2 billion in retirement debt in order to make permanent teacher pay raises that have been temporary over the last couple of years. It institutes a government growth limit that ensures that recurring spending at the state level can't grow faster than our population growth and inflation. So it constrains the rapid growth of recurring spending. It protects the homestead exemption and also protects the homestead and other protections for religious institutions, churches, synagogues, other houses of worship. So it's a long and complex constitution or amendment because it starts with Article 7 that was 13,000 words when it started. So this is it is a lot to absorb. I really encourage people to go read either on the Pelican Institute website, pelicanpolicy.org, or PAR, the Public Affairs Research Council, has a great guide. But this one's really important for making sure the tax reform package that happened in November fully gets implemented and we can get the economy humming again.
Somebody texted it in and said if it lowers the maximum income tax rate, that sounds like a tax cut for only a few people in Louisiana for the rich. Your thoughts on that, Daniel? Whoever texted that?
Yeah, so that's right. That's not quite right. So okay. A couple of things. First is the actual rate of income tax is set in statute. That is, and that was done in November. It's the income tax is a 3% flat tax for individual filers. That's great news. We support that fully. What has existed in the Constitution previously and will continue to is a cap that says no matter what, the legislature can't raise the tax above a certain amount. That's been 4.75 for the last several years, and this brings us down to 3.75. So it just lowers the maximum rate of income tax.
Not, it doesn't give a tax break to people that are wealthy, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Okay. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back 7:21, talking to Daniel Erspammer with the Pelican Institute about the ballot measures, four amendments that are up to be voted on March 29th. Early voting starts Saturday, and you really need to know what you're voting for or against when it comes to this because it could change the state. 7:21, traffic now, WWL. Hi, 7:27, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Daniel Erspammer with the Pelican Institute about the amendments that are on the ballot for March 29th. Early voting starts Saturday. We've already talked about, what have we talked about? One and two, right, Daniel?
Two, that's right.
One and two. Three, you have no position on. Tell me about Amendment 4.
So Amendment 4 is also relative to the judiciary. This is really more of a technical change. So as the state moved to this deals with when an election is held, when there's a vacancy for a judge. And so basically right now the Constitution says that an election must be called in the next 12 months, and then there's an appointment by the Supreme Court into the role temporarily. What this change says is that the special election to fill the vacancy shall be held at the next available election date, so the next currently scheduled election date. It does this for two reasons. One is to recognize a different election calendar now that the legislature has implemented closed party primaries in a number of races. So just make sure these elections happen more quickly. And again, so that we're not waiting 12 months with a temporary judge in place, that it ensures these elections happen at the next available time without adding a special election, a new cost to the book. So it's a technical cleanup based on some changes in the election calendar and ensuring we get our judges elected into place as quickly as possible.
Daniel, I'm going to have Jan Moeller on next. He sees it differently than you do, but I know one thing he's going to tell me is that Amendment 2 takes Louisiana back to budget gimmicks here, popularized, it says, by Governor Jindal, where one-time dollars are used to pay for ongoing government expenses. To that, you would say what, my friend?
Yeah, you know, my friend Jan, I respect him and like him a lot. He's wrong on this one. So as we look at this, what he's referring to is one of the things that Constitutional Amendment 2 will do is take a few billion dollars that are tied up into savings accounts and what we call dedicated funds. These dedicated funds, I want you to think non-reviewed government spending. It's just sort of locked in by legislators from years ago. Imagine your budget, household budget or small business budget was crafted by your crazy uncle 50 years ago and represented those priorities rather than the priorities today. It would make it very hard to run your household or small business. So this frees up dollars. It's smart, thoughtful budgeting. So I disagree with Jan on this one.
You know, as you say that, I realize I've never had a crazy uncle. My uncles were very well-balanced and very good role models. Have you ever had a crazy uncle or not?
No, I've been blessed with that, too. So, hey, you know.
I don't know where that phrase came from. I had an aunt or two that was nuts. Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate
Thanks, Tommy.
It.
Have a good one.
You bet. Daniel Erspammer, CEO of the Pelican Institute. We'll get the other side from Jan Moeller when we come back. 7:30, time now, WWO First News.